and welcome to The Squeal, PIC's swine management podcast, featuring in-depth conversations on topics that matter to you. PIC is the global leader in swine genetics. At PIC, our goal is to make our customers the most successful pig producers by providing them with the best genetics. We know our business success depends on yours. A good conversation today, sharing information on day one pig care, the importance of the first 24 hours. Joining us for this three-part series is Steve Horton, sow farm supervisor for Thomas Livestock.
My name's Steve Horton. I am sow farm supervisor for Thomas Livestock.
Steve is joined by PIC's Kendall Weger and Pedro Mesquero.
I'm Kendall Weger. I work with Global Technical Services at PIC.
My name is Pedro Mosqueda. I also work with Technical Services in PIC.
Today our purpose is to talk about day one piglet care. Obviously the importance, first off, of getting them past the birthing process into a productive physical state of being. But more than anything else, we want to talk about what some of those key indicators are, those things that we should be looking for as we are trying to educate, incorporate good practices into our operations. What are the things that are first and foremost in your mind that are critical to good day one pig care?
Well, I'll go ahead and start off. I think, first and foremost, we need to have a measurement. We need to know where we're at and where we're going. We can't really jump into it unless we know how we're going to measure our success and how we're going to measure our improvement.
In an operation or the ones you're familiar with, what does that look like? What are the measurements? How are they obtained?
Sure. So most farms have record-keeping systems, and it just depends on what KPIs you look at to measure that. And I think here at PIC, we recommend looking at piglet conversion because it's not just a matter of how many mummies or how many stillborns. What we really want to know is what percentage of the total born is going to be weaned. So that gives us kind of a bigger picture of our success and our performance.
Steve, in your operation, KPIs that we referred to, what are the ones that are at the top of your list?
At the top of our list, we look at stillborns, we look at mummies, we look at what the death loss is, and we look at it on a daily basis. And so when we figure that out, we have what we call our net gain so that we can make it as real time as possible for the people in the unit, because that's what I think motivates them, is if they could, the quicker they can see results, then they know what they are doing. Is it working? Is it, are we going in the negative way? So even though that's not 100% accurate for that day, in the long term, it is. So that's what we're looking at. And we do look at the stillborns, we look at the percentage, and we've got our weekly reports that we're sitting down and talking about in the farm, and that really helps as we look at those percentages and can compare what the other farms are doing.
So this net gain sounds really interesting. I envision a line chart that is moving up and down around a zero base. Is that what it looks like, and is it based on what happened yesterday or last week or last month?
Well, what we actually do is we have a board in each of our farms that has got last week's results on there, and then we're putting daily on there how many sows farrowed, how many pigs were born, what the stillborns were, what that percentage is, what the mummies are, what that percentage is, what our death loss is, and then and what that is weaned, that would be weaned per sow if that were all if those sows were taking all of those pigs off of them, even though they're maybe off of others, but it gives us a day-to-day basis that they can look at. And then on the bottom, our net gain is what that all adds up to. So if, for instance, we had a 14-7 born alive, and then we lose our stillborns and take everything down and get down to our 13.9 weaned. And in the end, it will all add up to being that, and it gives something fresh for the people to look at, so they know if a problem's starting, they know very quickly where it's coming and don't have to wait till 21 days till those pigs are weaned.
It's a really good thought, catching it as it starts. And what's the component that causes people to take action, that causes people to say, I need to adjust what I've been doing because I see this. Is there a training mechanism that's involved in that also?
Well, we sit down as a farm and talk about our goals. And so our goals for stillborns are 2%. Our goals for our death loss in the farrowing house are 6.5%. So we look at those things, and if we're starting to get 10% above that, then we start being concerned, and we start talking and looking into it and seeing why. You've got to have those animals coming in prepared and the farrowing house ready and washed, disinfected, and have everything ready, because that means so much in the preparation and those pigs getting the proper colostrum, getting started right. We usually find that any time that we're not checking sows in less than a 30-minute interval, our stillborns go up. And so we look for things like that.
PIC's perspective on that, I mean, obviously your job is to put the best, most productive piglet on the ground, but now it's kind of out of your hands as far as a genetic process once he's on the floor. So where are you looking at that operations focus in those early hours, that first day?
Yeah, I think the reality can change among different producers, okay? It will depend a lot on the labor availability they have on each company and the resource they have. So, for example, we can have great companies that we work with the 2% stillborns. At the same time, we can face companies having over 8% stillborn, okay? So it is very important to know where the customer is. After a conversation with the customer, talking about the opportunities they have to improve that, where we want to get that. So after that, we can put together a plan and work to have the best procedure to improve that indicator.
You said earlier the importance of having your KPIs. So the KPIs that Stephen has mentioned, are those the ones that were concerned about, or does PIC have additional ones on their list?
No, that's absolutely what we would include. And like I said, we like to look at the big picture, but then you really have to dig down into those bits and pieces to find out, where am I going to make the improvement? Is my premium mortality at 20% and my stillborns at 4%? Well, then we know we need to focus on the premium mortality. And just to jump a little bit back to what Pedro said about labor allocation, I think that's something that we can really help with, because this is not a one-size-fits-all. It's the labor's not equal, the days of the week aren't equal, so we really need to figure out how to allow the people in the farm to pick the most important things and to target that time and attention to where they're really going to make the biggest impact.
So labor allocation, the opportunity to inflect our trend is with labor, always. Is that correct?
I agree with that. It's a huge contribution and a huge part of the process to make sure we have the right person or the right people in place, motivated and with the right training to do the right process, is a huge part of that.
Steve, how do you manage on your end that labor allocation element?
We look at quite a few things, like that person that is going to be attending the farrowings and be doing the gloving, we need to first off make sure that they're physically able to do that, as far as not having too big of arms to where they would injure the animals. But we try to work with training everybody and helping them to understand, to look at what the animal is telling you. You know, as you really learn animal husbandry, generally with our people, it seems like we have a lot of people who have no experience coming in and working for us. And we keep them in one area so we feel like they can get an expertise on the system that much quicker. And it seems like at about 4 months, you see instead of a little jump, you have a big jump in what they're truly catching on and understanding of what the sow is telling them.
Is that where you put your new people, into the farrowing barn?
You know, we will put our new people wherever we feel they fit. We try to match the person with what we think their personality is going to hit best. As an example, to be in the breeding barn, you need to be very patient to be in the repairing house. You need to be sensitive about how that sow is feeling. A lot of times the female workers just have a natural instinct that that we can't ignore, that that helps them in understanding that animal and caring for those baby pigs, more of a motherly aspect. So seems to be a good benefit there. So wherever that personality fits is what we try to do, so that we can work with their talents and teach them to just grow and learn upon that.
Pedro, you mentioned earlier the range of stillborns that you might experience. The economic impact, potential economic impact of changing that by 5 percentage points, even 10 percentage points, must be tremendous. What does that look like in the operations that you are familiar with when you've had the chance to go in and talk with the farm management and be on site and see what's going on, and just show where the opportunities lie in those operations? What are some of the economic benefits that these producers are seeing?
Well, when we put together some calculations on that, of course, it will depend on the market price. We can have some difference. But that will be around $10 to $12 per sow per year for every point of reduction in proving mortality, or even for the stillborn. That will be close by. So if we consider a system with 10,000 sows, it is a considerable amount of money, right? Let's say 10,000 sows times 12, $120,000 per year, about 1 point on that. So it is a nice opportunity when we put the opportunity on the table on what we can improve. And even small figures, like 1 or 2 points reduction, will represent a good amount of savings.
Hmm. Kendall, can you talk about moving us from where we are now to where we want to be, and what are some of the tools or the techniques or the practices that you would most likely turn to first early on in the process, so that you want them to see a difference quickly, so that they are willing to utilize additional suggestions? So what would some of the ones at the top of your list be?
Well, sure. It depends, you know, what area are we working on first? It's always easiest to make the biggest difference on the area that can use the most improvement. So are we focusing on specifically the stillborns, the preween, everything? I think it's important to give people very clear goals and very clear ideas of what needs to be done. So we can think of three main things that a farrowing monitor has to do, because when they go in that room, there is so much going on. There are sows farrowing and there's hundreds of pigs. They're cold. They need milk. Sows need sleeved. Maybe they need to feed. It can be very overwhelming. So if we can put into three categories, you need to assist your sows, your piglets need to be warm and dry, and they need colostrum. So we need to keep that simple and find out what's the best way to do that. You know, do you have the capability to be split suckling, to add another person into the room? So we need to figure out what's the easiest way for the farm to make the biggest amount of difference without adding a ton of extra labor or a lot of new protocols. So really just focusing on what's going to be the biggest impact and then executing it right every day. So if you can do 2 or 3 things right every day, that's better than doing 12 things just mediocre every day.
So labor allocation in that regard, not necessarily who's in the room, but do we need an extra set of hands in the room during this time period? How do you evaluate that? I mean, is that just a seat of the pants kind of a calculation that, oh, you know, this person looks pretty overwhelmed, and looking at the farrowing schedule, I suspect that will happen again next Thursday or pick the day. How do you do that? How do you best allocate your on-hand labor supply? And Steve, maybe that's a part of your question also.
For us, it's kind of simple, and we try to make it simple for them, because what you're saying is we need to be able to assist. We need to be able to keep those pigs warm and dry. So we towel dry all of the pigs, and then we do the split suckle. But it depends on your size of farm, how many times you wean to where how many animals are going to be farrowing at a time. On an average time, I would say one person can usually take care of 20 sows that were farrowing. However, if something goes wrong to where there's extra attendance needed and extra gloving, then that may go down to 10. So we tell our people to look at that, and if they can't make the rotation in 30 minutes through the rooms and going through and seeing every sow, then we ask them to call for help. And, you know, our day one care, we have that person that is assisting, and they're the person that towel dries all the pigs. And then we have other people coming in to do the split suckle. So there's always somebody close there to help with the assistant, because if you don't get that pig to get to the colostrum and to the teat to get the nutrition and be there before he has stressed and got chilled, then you're not going to have that pig in the future. So you need to make sure that you're addressing it, and that way is how we look at it.
There's a lot of head nodding going on here with the PIC staff, so I'm guessing, Steve, you've pretty much hit the targets that they're recommending. Does that sound right? Is 30 minutes a rotation that you would agree with? And at that point, then, they need to know who it is that they're to call. I mean, they need to be able to pull from and know that the other individual is available and ready to help in that area and has experience. It's not someone that's just arrived, but someone who's knowledgeable about it.
Mm-hmm. And having that culture that it's okay to ask for help. You know, everyone feels like we're all so busy, and I don't want to burden someone by asking, but we have to make sure that person knows how important this job is, and that, you know, processing can wait till later, moving animals, those things are not the most urgent tasks on the farm, so they shouldn't feel bad about pulling someone aside and saying, hey, I need some help for an hour.
Is this a common practice? Do you see this happening, or is this something that the industry's learning now?
I think we see that happening frequently when there are opportunities to improve the priority of the tasks at fairing. So many times we go to a farm, a lot of people, we have 2-3 people processing the piglets while there is a sow that's not having assistance. So we need to bring to the people what's urgent and what's important, right? I'm not saying that processing it is not important, but it is not as urgent as assisting a sow that it is faring for, let's say, for 40 minutes with no piglet on ground. She may be contracting, and they are not paying attention to that. So, and this is a role of the farm manager about identifying what's going on in the farm, talking to the people as well, and allocating the labor for that.
You know, I would echo all of that, because we talk about priority all the time, and, you know, the priority of getting that that pig alive. And so it is a culture thing that you really have to, you know, focus on, because people do try to, you know, I'm a good worker, I can handle this on my own. So we've got to teach them the priorities and teach them that it's fine to ask for help, because this is where we are actually saving pigs.
It's a day one pig care discussion on The Squeal, the first episode of 3 featuring Steve Horton with Thomas Livestock and Kendall Weger and Pedro Mosquero from PIC. You're welcome to share these podcasts widely in your organization. In fact, we encourage it. For PIC, the international leader of continuous genetic improvement in swine breeding stock and in world-class technical support to the global pork supply chain, I'm Ned Arthur. Thanks for joining us.